Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey, folks, before we get to our last show of the Trump presidency, let's talk about the After Party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth podcast, but this one is completely different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the stuff we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month. And by the way, you're also going to get 2 postmortem shows every week included in that level of support. That's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
What's on your mind? The era of big government is over.
You want to cut the line?
I want to change the sentiment. We're running away from ourselves. And I know we can score points that way. I was a principal architect of that campaign strategy, right along with you, Judge. But we're here now. Tomorrow night we do an immense thing. We have to say what we feel. That government, no matter what its failures in the past and in times to come, for that matter, government can be a place where people come together and where no one gets left behind. No one gets left behind. An instrument of good. I have no trouble understanding why the line tested well, Josh. But I don't think that means we should say it. I think that means we should change it.
I think so, too. What do you think, Josh?
I make it a point never to disagree with Toby when he's right, Mr. President.
Then you and Sam get your people together and get to work.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Bob Seska!
Hello, Seska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Seska Show!
Yeah, it's a big announcement for today. I'm pregnant. Just kidding, of course. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, January 19, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 1,461 of the Trump crisis. One, count them, one day until inauguration day. And oh, there he is, sitting in for Buzz Burbank. Rocky Mountain Mike is here. Mike.
Mike.
Oh, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for joining us again today. What's happening?
That opening gets me all teary-eyed.
I know, man.
I mean, like, wow. I mean, it's like, you know, I was thinking about this, how, it reminds me so much of high school, because when I was in high school, I used to go with my friends to watch 2001 and stuff, and I read a lot of stuff, and I listened to a lot of good music, and I thought that I had some kind of class, and you're surrounded by these FAA people. And, nothing against the FAA, but just, you know, a bunch of just redneck jerks.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, I feel like all those guys from high school have been running the country for 4 years. I am really tired. I'm not kidding. I am really tired. Sorry if I sound a little groggy. I've been up all night planting flags.
That looks amazing out there. Yeah, 200,000 flags planted on the National Mall to commemorate the people who couldn't attend the inauguration. Wonderful.
And the coming of the new administration is already working out for me. I just got a deal to sell my song parodies at Bed Bath & Beyond. They've got some space on the shelf now.
I've noticed.
Yeah. We've learned before leaving the governorship in 2018, Chris Christie was approached by the MyPillow guy about declaring marshmallow law. How am I doing with the dad jokes?
Oh, beginning wonderful. My favorite was
beginning
right
tomorrow, Trump's lawyers will work from early in the morning until late in the evening. They will make many calls and have many meetings. And Trump is leaving office with the lowest presidential approval rating in 80 years. Yep. And today he was on the phone with Gallup asking if they could recalibrate.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, hey, it's you once again. Pardon Party.
1972, a song that was on McLeod.
I went to a pardon party to get off with my crook friends. A chance to make Trump's legacy and make it stink again. But when I got to the pardon party, they all knew my name. And Trumpy recognized me, because we're both insane. Because he's alt-right now. He didn't learn his lesson well. You see, he can't spring everyone, so he wants to spring himself. And people came from miles around, all paid to be there. Bannon brought his fat ass, there was MAGAs in the air. Over in the corner, much to my surprise, Mr. Rudy trying to get in good, he brought a phony Nobel Prize. Because he's alt-right now, he didn't learn his lesson well. You see, he can't spring everyone, so he wants to spring himself.
All right.
Wow, wow.
Incredible.
Fun fact,
work.
I,
that is awesome.
I actually, in 1979, I actually worked for the organization that represented Rick Nelson. We actually worked, we were co-workers.
Wow.
In 1988, I worked with Hubcap Carter in Dallas Radio, and he's the guy that talked Ricky Nelson into flying into Dallas.
Oh, my God.
That was his deal, so that was his cross to bear.
I wish my name were Hubcap Carter. I would love to change my name to, please, for the rest of the show, just call me Hubcap.
Hey, man, if you're from Dallas, you know Hubcap.
So. All right, well, let's talk about our good friend Buzz Burbank.
When you say bye.
He's not here.
You've said it all.
But we talked about this a little bit on Friday. He's made public the reason why he's out. It's on his Facebook page. He released a statement last week. But last night he sent me a message to pass along to you. He said, please tell the listeners that it breaks my heart to miss the moment I've worked toward for the past 4 years. But I'm doing my duty as a son, and I will return with new and exciting projects in this still new year. So, Buzz, in case you missed Friday's after party when we talked about this a little bit, Buzz had a family emergency. His dad and his stepmom were pretty sick, and it was kind of an emergency kind of sick, you know what I mean, where they may not have had much time left. So Buzz jumped in his car, obviously doing whatever he can to protect himself from the pandemic, jumped in his car, drove to Kansas to be with his parents to take care of them. And as soon as he got out of the car in Wichita, because as you know, Mike, people train don't run out of Wichita. People train run out of Stubville. So he got to, I almost want to do the noise too. I was like, that's right. That guy.
She's wiry though.
First baby came out sideways, didn't scream or nothing. So as soon as he gets to Wichita, his stepmom had to be taken to the emergency room, and the only way to get her to the car was for Buzz to carry her. And so carried her to the car. They get to the emergency room only to find out that she has tested positive for COVID. His dad has also tested positive for COVID. So far, so good in terms of symptoms. Well, of course, Buzz got tested for COVID the day after that. Too soon to know for sure, so he's getting tested again today. The first test came out negative. So Buzz was negative initially. But there's another test on tap for today. And so I'm not sure exactly when he's going to find out the results of that. So that's why Buzz is gone. And if you want to know more, I think he released, as I said before, he released a statement on his Facebook page. But we're still pulling for him. We're still rooting for him. We hope he gets home soon and everything works out okay. I've been keeping in touch with him via text and talking on the phone since then. And, you know, it's a harrowing time. It would be a harrowing thing to have to deal with all this shit without having the pandemic. And then you add the pandemic on top of everything else. And so, you know.
Plus, he doesn't get to be here and celebrate the end of this nightmare. I mean, I feel bad even that I'm sort of taking his place during that, because this is like a. This is a really important day, you know?
Yeah. Well, tomorrow was going to be, actually, no, Thursday was going to be his last newscast, and he's got to delay that. He's going to do one last newscast when he gets back from Wichita, but we don't know when that is, especially if he ends up testing positive on today's test. And we're putting out good vibes. We're hoping he doesn't test positive, that he continues to test negative, and everything's going to be fine. He was, of course, wearing a mask, but, you know, to a certain extent, when you're in a home in which both residents of that home have tested positive, it's just a landmine. I mean, I don't know. It'd be kind of an...
But it almost doesn't really make any difference if you do wear a mask in that situation, because it's going to get on you wherever, you know, and I guess your eyes are what you're mostly concerned about.
Yeah.
But if you're inside a house, it's just everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. So he had to spend all kinds of time, scouring the place, disinfecting everything, doing the best he can to get rid of any traces of the virus that were left in the house. They, of course, had his stepmom isolated for a while, and she's doing much better now, from what I understand. So things seem to be turning up. We've just got our fingers crossed for a couple more negative tests coming out, testing negative for COVID. So we're hoping for that, and we'll see how this all goes, and I'll keep you all posted as information arises, and I'm sure Buzz will too on his Facebook page. Okay, so of course we have big occasion today, and what I normally do, Mike, is every time there's a every time one of our favorite politicians ends up leaving office, we got to do this. This is our little troll for anyone who either gets booted out of office, has to resign, you know, to spend more time with their family, or some other catastrophe lands upon them. And so this is, we're wheeling this out for Donald Trump. Finally, fucking finally, Trump is going to be out of office as of tomorrow. And I can still hit the post, right? Oh, I noticed, too, that you hit the post on your own song, Mike, which is fantastic. We never stop.
I do that in my sleep, you know.
Never stop being DJs. Do you still have dreams and nightmares about talking up songs and finding carts to play? And
all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
Me
and
too.
Everybody I know that's ever been in radio has that nightmare where the song is running out, you don't have another one queued up, you can't think of anything to say. It never ends. It just never ends.
For me, when I'm doing it, I'm on the air and I'm super duper sleepy and I can't form my thoughts clearly. And that's normally what happens. Oh, and then I have no songs pulled. That's the other one. I've got nothing to play. I'm just on the air, and there's nothing, nowhere to go.
I always had that very common recurring dream, that unsettling dream where you're wrestling with David Niven. You ever had that one?
Yeah, all the time.
I stole that from Northern Exposure.
Shit, man. If I had a dollar for every time I had a dream about David Niven, I tell you. Okay, so let's see here. Just going back to your song parody, Mike, Trump is supposed to issue about 100 pardons today. So whatever happens, it's going to happen 2 seconds after we're done recording this show. So everything you're hearing now is going to be irrelevant as of, 2 minutes after we finish recording it. It's true. He's going to issue about 100 pardons. And I got to say,
it was only going to be 90, but when he does 10, he gets another one for free.
That's right. Well, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell made me shit my pants. And I think he made most of the world shit its pants as well, because Lawrence O'Donnell's A-Block started out with a monologue about how, and I had no idea, I mean, I went to school for this shit. I had no idea that the president can issue secret pardons. I had no idea that was a thing. I had no idea that was even legal, but I guess presidents can do that. So there's a solid chance. I think there's a 100% chance that Donald Trump is going to issue a bunch of secret pardons on top of the 100 he's going to issue today. And we're only going to find out about them, apparently, when there's an attempted prosecution. That's when it gets introduced. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're trying to prosecute so-and-so.
These aren't the double secret probation pardons, are they?
Kind of. That's what he's doing.
It kind of sounds like that.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, that scares the hell out of me, because what that means is they could do that whole switcheroo where Mike Pence becomes president for 5 minutes, issues a pardon of Donald Trump and Donald Trump's kids, and then hands the presidency back to Donald Trump. And then
can you do that?
I don't think it would be legal. I don't think it would.
Switch like that? I mean,
I know there was an episode of The West Wing. There was a two-parter where President Bartlet stepped down and John Goodman became president for 5 minutes and then did a bunch of shit. And then President Bartlet came back.
They would have never had the idea if it weren't for The West Wing.
My parents paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for my political science education. And I'm getting all my information from The West Wing. I advise against that, college students.
Well, you know, it just occurred to me, what if he pardons, like, all the Russians, you know, all the Russians that are charged and everything?
Yeah.
He
could pardon a lot of these insurrectionists who turned up at the Capitol, who invaded the Capitol on the 6th. So that's always possible. And I wouldn't be surprised. But the latest word, John Roberts at Fox News, and of course, consider the source, John Roberts is right there on the cusp of being reputable. I think he's one of the more reputable members of Fox News Channel, but consider the Fox News aspect of all of this. He reported yesterday that Trump is not expected to issue protective pardons to members of his family and is not expected to attempt a protective pardon for himself. So no protective layer of ice for Donald Trump.
You know, I was just wondering about whether on Thursday if T-Rex would pardon any of the insurrectionists for their fashion choices.
That's probably not going to happen. He's probably already done it secretly. He issued some secret pardons. This one also scared the shit out of me. There were two things that came down last night. I was ready to enjoy the rest of my evening after getting done with work, and then suddenly these two news stories came down, and the cortisol levels rise in my body. I start to get freaked out, heart palpitations and all the rest of it. I'm grappled onto the edge of the couch. QAnon cultists, according to the Washington Post, have discussed posing as National Guardsmen during the inauguration. Something we've been discussing since the insurrection, that these people have somehow infiltrated the National Guard, or infiltrated the Capitol Police in the case of the insurrection itself. This is terrifying insofar as if there are any QAnon members, and this is kind of a statement in terms of the prevalence of these conspiracy theory groups and the prevalence of Trumpism and the Red Hat cult. Certainly, you imagine, given the size of them, given the fact that, 74 million of them voted for Donald Trump, that a few of those people are going to be in the National Guard. And a few of those people could end up being at the mall. And it's a terrifying prospect. And this is coming down from the FBI. I mean, they briefed other intelligence officials about the fact that QAnon maybe inside all of these law enforcement agencies. And I don't know how the hell, I mean, how do you weed that shit out?
Well, I guess
out?
The way that, you know, I'm always just thinking off the top of my head, but I guess you would just like any other, what is it, the circles of trust.
Yeah, right.
The people that would be closest to Biden and all those guys would be the ones you vet the most. I tweeted this last night. Is like, it seems to me that it would be, rather than vetting 25,000 National Guard troops, it would have been a lot easier to vet one presidential candidate in 2016.
Yeah.
You know, thank you, media. Thank you, New York Times.
Yeah. God, that's the other thing that keeps running through my head as we're coming up at the end of the Trump atrocity here, the Trump four-year nightmare, is that we warned everybody. It's not like people didn't know. And that's what I can't get beyond, Mike, is the fact that it was clear, even if you didn't listen to, you know, the mainstream news or anything like that, if you didn't listen to liberal Twitter or whatever, you'd have a pretty good impression just based on the past several decades of what kind of person Donald Trump is and why he was completely not qualified to be dog catcher, much less president of the United States. There was just no way he could do the job. And we all knew that going in. We knew that he was going to make this all about him, that he was going to use the office to enrich himself. He was going to use the office to seek revenge against his enemies. He was going to use the office to kind of manifest all of his racism and hatred of other groups that he finds to be, you know, from shithole countries or whatever you want to call it. I mean, this was clear going in. Again, the thing that I cannot get behind when I read stories like this QAnon story, the National Guard story, or anything else that we're seeing about these extremist groups and the invasion of the Capitol, this was all in service of that goddamn cartoon character. I will never understand that. I mean, I could get the fact
well,
that
there was... He wouldn't be, I don't think he would have quite this following if he weren't the cartoon character to begin with.
Yeah.
If he wasn't somebody who had nothing to lose politically by doing this, and also at the same time being this big TV personality with this air about him that he was successful and you know, he's the one with balls and he's going to, you know, show all these people what it's really all about. You know, all that mystique that goes with that, as misinformed as all these idiots are, if he'd just been another politician, he wouldn't have all this.
Yeah.
It's because he was already a just a rude personality who was known for being rude that this has carried on. And it's gone to just the most ridiculous extremes. And at the same time, he's got the lowest approval rating of any president ever leaving office. So you got to remind yourself that it's still, you know, the minority. It's just it's just so scary that they're so, you know, blatant. And apparently, you know, after the 6th, they don't care. I mean, they don't care who knows it. You know, they openly, I see it all the time on Facebook. People have been talking about this for weeks on Facebook. There's a storm coming, you know. And I thought they meant that, you know, that the Supreme Court will save him or something like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. No, by God, we're getting guns and we're going to go take care of this.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I always peg them as kind of being cowards, like they will never follow through with all of these threats. Ultimately, they are keyboard warriors and they're just going to, you know, stick around in their 4chan and 8chan discussion forums and not really bother to get out of the house. But, you know, now we see them. Now we know that at least some of them are activated to the point where they become basically Donald Trump terror cells. It amazes me. And I think what you can look at as far as how Donald Trump was able to propel himself to this level of admiration and obviously bellicose defense, it's because it wasn't just Donald Trump. It was this entire conservative entertainment complex, as David Frum calls it, or as I call it, the Red Hat entertainment complex, that fertilized the ground before Trump arrived and was able to plant himself into that ground. So the ground as far as disinformation, the ground as far as building up a cult of gullible people who would accept whatever confirmation bias that Fox News puts out there, that AM Talk Radio puts out there, that Breitbart puts out there, that was already ready. And so Donald Trump comes along, co-opts that concept, co-opts that series of talking points, co-opts the attitude, and everyone just kind of runs over and gathers around him. It looks sort of like the townspeople from The Simpsons. They're just very easily led into one giant group to whatever huckster comes along wanting to sell a monorail. So that's what Donald Trump basically was. Yeah.
Tom Hartman had a guest on yesterday, who I guess is a regular. He's a psychiatrist or psychologist who, you know, they were talking about the mob mentality. They take it to another dimension beyond just the media and what they respond to. It was all about how these folks are people who have typically had great loss in their life, and it's never been reconciled.
Yeah.
And Trump has provided the means for doing that, or not really the means for they reconciling their or dealing with their problems is never really in the mix. It's all about finding someone else to blame for it, and just making, you know, I'm good and they're bad. They're mm-hmm. socialists. They're scary, yep. and they're going to ruin my life, and that, and of course, yeah, Fox News and everything amplifies that. Mm-hmm. And I think about having I know a lot of people are saying that we shouldn't have the inauguration indoors and everything, but I think I understand the thinking behind it, which is gets back to testosterone.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be able to get out there and show people that you're not going to be intimidated by these goons. And as we saw in the video yesterday of them rifling through Ted Cruz's desk, what complete fucking idiots. Oh, mm-hmm. my God.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're idiots who have cell phones and have, you know, grabbed themselves some sense of this is their moment, you know.
Right, right. Again, it's the Joker speech from The Dark Knight. It was like, I'm a dog chasing a car. When I catch it, I don't know what the hell to do with it. It's the question mark portion of the underpants gnome equation. Number one, invade capital. Number two, question mark. Number three, Trump remains president. Well, what the hell is that? What was the question mark part? What did that involve? I guess it involved executing Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence and Chuck Schumer. And it's just they had no plan. There was no scheme there ultimately other than just inchoate rage. Let's just pile into the Capitol building and do something, 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 something. And Donald Trump will remain president. I guess they assumed that he was going to march down there after they've secured the building and, you know, sit down in the president's chair in the Senate chambers and just start presiding over the country as the continued president. He would have taken over.
And then they would all get a new car.
Yeah. But I mean, going back to what you're saying about testosterone, it's a fascinating thing because everyone mistakes Donald Trump, his behavior and the behavior of his supporters as being somehow alpha masculine, where the way I'm seeing it is it's none of that. It's neither of those things. What it is actually just anger management issues. These people have serious psychological problems insofar as they have a twisted, artificial view of what the United States is, what their role in the United States is, what Donald Trump's role in the United States is. They don't have any idea what democracy means, because if they actually believed in democracy, they wouldn't be trying to preserve democracy at the point of a gun. In a democratic republic, you further your ideas by talking about them, by creating the better argument for them so that more people vote for your ideas.
Imagine all these people sitting at home making models of the Capitol with their mashed potatoes. You know, we're all going to go to this place.
This is a sign. Here it is. Here we are. Get your Viking helmet. We're going in. Oh, my God, these sad, sad cosplaying people.
So I wonder if Mitch McConnell's speech today about, he basically is distancing himself from Trump and putting down the rioters and everything and saying that Trump lied and everything, that's going to be like the first little chip. And then hopefully we'll get some indictments here. I mean, this guy has to be discredited. He has to – I don't necessarily go to prison. I'd love to see that. But he – you know, the serious shit has to start hitting the serious fan now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the great unremembering is happening now. And we're seeing it with Mitch McConnell. We're seeing it with Bill Barr. I want to talk about both of those things here in just a second. But before we do that, I want to let you know, too, coming out of this next commercial, we're going to play a full-length song. It's only 2 minutes long. We rarely do this, but we've got a song by a recording artist named Skylar Foley. She had a viral hit on TikTok with a song called "You're Gonna Outlive Mitch McConnell." That is the name of the song. We're going to play that in its entirety coming out of the commercial. But before we get to that, it's the start of a brand new year. And if you plan on making a fresh start for yourself in 21, this is your time to shine. You might try reading a new book, getting more exercise, or even try changing up your look. Well, Plexiderm can be the key to a refreshed new look for the new year by taking years off your appearance. And it all just takes 10 minutes. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes, visibly reduced wrinkles, fine lines, even under eye bags, in just just a matter of minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines, number 11s, and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in fewer than 10 minutes. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com/voices or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear, vanish, poof, with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com/voices or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Politicians that derive their power from weird electoral maps that don't actually represent the will of the people.
The great Skylar Foley. You're going to outlive Mitch McConnell. That is skylarfoley.bandcamp.com if you want to get your very own copy of that song. Just all wonderful. Right. All right. Well, link in the description.
Reminds me of my neighbor across the street. He's 77, and this is the second Martin Luther King Day in a row where he hasn't put his flag out. The first one was just a clue to me.
Yeah.
And then after I've gotten to know him over the past year, yeah, he's pretty much a racist. You know, and they all have to just die. That they're not going to change him, you know.
Oh,
I was in a
no.
conversation with this guy. And he was talking about this guy who does some plumbing work,
mm-hmm.
and he's an African-American guy, and he kept calling him boy. And I got right in his face about it. I said, you know, it is 2020,
yeah.
Leon. You might not want to call a black person boy.
Right.
And he just right back in my face again did it. So I'm like, you know, you just have to die.
I would have moved to your neighborhood, Mike. It sounds so pleasant. It sounds so yeah. tolerant.
Well,
we
still got the guy over here, like a couple blocks over, has all the Trump flags hanging on his house.
Oh,
and the other day, I actually – and he wears a MAGA hat every day.
Yeah.
He's got it on his truck and everything. And I went by, and I actually caught his eye as I was going by, and I just put the big L sign over my hat, you know, loser.
I love that you're trolling your neighbors. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And they have guns. So.
It made me think, too, that as we're watching the new footage come down from the invasion of the Capitol, I was just struck by one of the shots that showed so many of those MAGA hats, so many of those red hats. It's just so utterly creepy where you've got, you know, this makeshift army of Trump supporters who all have matching hats. I always think of that George Carlin bit where he talks about how in various wars, the participants in the war all have their own hats. They all have their own matching yeah. hats. And you can always tell who the enemy is because they're wearing a different kind of hat And it all comes down to the hats. I mean, that's a fun way to spin the fact that these people have basically created or formed their own pro-Trump terror cell. And I would imagine many terror cells where they're popping up all over the place. They're infiltrating law enforcement. I mean, this is real, where you not only have Russians trying to worm their way into our infrastructure, but now you got these red hat terror cells who are doing the exact same thing, if you're to believe what the FBI has been reporting recently.
Having a shitty economy and people, you know, like in Eastern Kentucky and Western West Virginia and all these, where they have so many opiates because they have no prospects. You know, that's just a breeding ground for that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And, you know, I feel like there is a level of celebration that we deserve to have going into we're now in the last 24 hours of the Trump administration. But at the same time, the ideas that Trump has embedded into our culture, you're exactly right, Mike. They're not going away. These are going to continue.
He just popularized them. You know, they were already. They've been there since the end of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. This is why I keep putting off this article I've got about how the Confederate mind works.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand this growing up. Growing up in the 60s and 70s, I guess we had Vietnam to worry about and all the social aspects of that and the civil rights era. But it was back then, it was just like, well, those guys are turning hoses on people and beating people and using the N-word. They're racists.
Yeah.
And now it's just so, you know, it's just insidious the way it's embedded itself into our popular culture.
Yeah.
As much as we always like the good guy to win in the movies and TV shows and everything.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are getting more sophisticated and they're getting more brazen. And you're right. It's not going to go away.
Yeah. What's that phrase? Make racism bad again. I mean, that's where we are as a culture right now, where Donald Trump was able to give racists a platform of legitimacy on the national stage, where they could proudly march and do their thing and relay their dog whistles and all the rest of it, because they had the protection. They had the backing of the commander in chief. And so that's why, this is just going to be a constant battle now between the tenets of good character. I mean, Mike, that's one of the things that I just can't shake off. I can't shake off the fact that, for example, my generation, I'm Generation X, whatever you want to call it, I was raised by people who taught us all of these values, whether it were American values, democracy, rule of law, things like that, but also personal values in terms of character, decorum, decency. These are the ways you comport yourselves in a decent society. All of that shit is being thrown out the fucking door by the same people who taught us those values in the first place. By elevating Donald Trump, who is anathema to all of those values, they are saying, hey, you know what? It was all irrelevant anyway. I don't know what the hell we were telling you guys, but, it doesn't apply anymore. Once you're pissed off about being the forgotten man or the forgotten woman in the country, anything goes. Fuck being a decent person with integrity and honor and respectfulness and tolerance. Yeah, screw all of that. It's everyone for themselves.
My car broke down in central Oklahoma a few years ago during the Obama years, and the guy who was driving me back started somehow on talking about how the country's gone downhill and everything.
Yeah.
And I wanted so much to pursue that and find out what he meant by that, other than a black president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe the gays, you know.
Right.
I don't know what it was. Who knows what it was? He seemed like he was doing okay. But I thought, well, this is my ride back home. I need to, not antagonize.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Barack Obama is they were sold, again, it's this disinformation that is so prevalent in conservative media and the Red Hat Entertainment Complex. They were sold an artificial version of Barack Obama that doesn't exist. They were told about a guy who was all of the different boogeymen rolled into one. It was going to be the second rise of communism.
A very close old friend of mine talked about how scary it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, she's not an educated person, and she obviously was showing her racism. What was the scary part? The doubling of the Dow or the halving of the unemployment or the getting of Bin Laden saving the auto industry, getting 30 million people health care.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's scary stuff.
I mean, how many
of
these?
They're doing it again. They're doing it again now. I mean, I'm getting this comments on all my YouTube comments now. It's like, you just wait. You just wait a year from now. You know.
Sure.
Yeah, gas prices are going to be higher. Well, gas prices are going to be higher because they're lower now than they've been in 40 years.
That's right.
Idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how many of these forecasts have to be wrong before they figure out, hey, you know what? Maybe we're wrong on this all the time. Maybe we should stop listening to these people who are always wrong. It's like when they have those Nostradamus predictions or whatever that show up on the cover of the National Enquirer or some of these cults, the doomsday cults, and talk about, oh, yeah, you know what? The end of the world is going to happen on February 12th, 2021. So get ready because it's going to be the apocalypse and we're all going to go to heaven be with Jesus. And it never happens. Never happens.
It's easy to stereotype, you know, put everybody that supports Trump into one big basket. But, you know, there are different layers of this. I like to call it the distribution of derp. You know, it's like some people, like 10% are going to believe this and, you know.
The distribution of derp. Holy shit. Yeah, that's a great, great way to put it. And, you know, but again, rationality dictates that once you get to a certain place and you've been given so much derp that turns out to not be true, then you have to go, well, wait a minute. Am I on the wrong track here? But they just...
Well, that's where it comes back to Biden and Harris. You know, they're going to have to deliver. You know, they're going to have to at least have the perception of delivering.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see, it's exactly like at the end of the Bush years. Where do they got to go but up? It's right. Just, you know. Yeah.
Well, they can always make more derp, Mike. There's always more derp to be manufactured in the derp factory of primetime Fox News Channel. I cannot believe that hasn't come up. And I'm interested to know where you land on this thing because, man, I was looking at a video from Lando's co-pilot in Return of the Jedi, Maria Bartiromo. She was... She looks like Nia Numb from the Star Wars movie. Okay. Sorry. You know, it was the whole nonsense about Antifa infiltrating the protesters on the 6th. She had a new report says that some far-right protesters have discussed posing as members of the National Guard to infiltrate the inauguration the way Democrats infiltrated 2 weeks ago and put on MAGA clothing, which did not fucking happen. I mean, at what point do we start talking about providers, Comcast?
I don't get this at all. Why are they beating that dog?
Yeah, well,
I guess because they got nothing else, you know.
They've got nothing else. Yeah, it's again another conspiracy theory. They're just doubling
down. That's still on the top two list. That's still on the countdown. The top two is Antifa infiltrated. It's a false flag, and the number two is they rioted last July. So you know, in Portland. So this is our turn.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. But
one of them do.
The broader question, though, is in this process of shutting down these geysers of disinformation, should the cable company, should we be looking at the cable companies to stop carrying the Fox cable channels, Fox News Channel, Fox Business?
And I think that's a movement that is growing. And the January 6th events, I think, have really made that come to the forefront more. I'm seeing more and more of that on Twitter pull the plug on this stuff. And it really needs to be along the lines of a Lincoln Project level movement.
Right. Right.
To get the cable companies to stop putting this garbage out.
I hope that's the case because stopping short of Fox News Channel, and I know some of the Murdochs, a couple of them, the various thousands of Murdoch children that there are out there, the litter of Murdochs have come out and said, hey, you know what? We're against this disinformation crap, but they're not talking to their dad. They're not talking to Lachlan Murdoch too. And those are the ones we're stopping short of the patient zero in the disinformation pandemic that we've got here, separate from the COVID pandemic. I'm talking about the pandemic of disinformation. They are stopping short of Fox News Channel. Yes, Twitter's, you know, shutting down the Trump accounts, Facebook, and some of these businesses are pulling their money from the Republican Party and so on. But they're stopping short of the centerpiece of where all this shit is coming from.
They have to lose viewers. That's the only way it works, really, because you can't just say, take them off the cable, because if they're so successful, they're going to keep doing this shit. I mean, people just have to. That's even harder than boycotting a business is getting people to change their behavior.
My only concern, and I do think that they should shut down Fox News Channel, at least the primetime shows should be stripped. I'm talking about Tucker. Yeah. I'm talking about Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity. Get them out of there. But short of that, I wonder if there's actually a benefit in keeping Fox News around, insofar as if the Fox News listeners no longer have that option, suddenly they're over on Newsmax, and suddenly they're on OAN, which is far worse. And can you imagine?
The flavor of that is what I was about to bring up myself, was that, you know, get rid of the couch tumors and just make it a news channel, and make – at least put their editorial kind of shows somewhere on planet Earth anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that would be the trick, is to nudge them in that direction, but not, like you say, just shove the whole audience over to some radicalized, crazy-ass place.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people that watch Fox News think it really is sort of mainstream news.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't watch that much in the evening or something, but... you know, their news reporting, it's slanted, but it's got that, you know, it's got that glimmer of looking like it's real professional news.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like being an oncologist and trying to rid a patient of cancer. You take out the small tumors, you get rid of, you know, the tumor, but then there's that one big tumor, and you just always say, well, we're going to just leave that there because, I don't know, we don't want to be censoring people, or whatever the justification is for Comcast and some of the other cable carriers for not taking Fox News down, or for Fox News itself, News Corp, to not take away that giant 3-hour block of bullshit.
But, you know,
that they
it's have the scary part about them being the number one cable channel and Trump getting 74 million votes is that it really reflects on where we are as a country. We have to get morals, and there's real actual morals in this country. And that is just, you know, that's not something you can do in, you know, a generation.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point to where this kind of behavior has become normalized so much. The way that they frame things, and that the way they make out anybody who's trying to help, you know, people get minimum wage as somehow being Stalin. we've got to get out of that mindset. And I don't know how we do it other than, and I keep coming back to this, civics education in the schools.
Yeah.
You know, our educational system is just horrible. And as a culture, we have to change, because as long as people will tune into that crap, someone is going to offer it, whether it's Fox News or whoever, like you say. I mean, it's easy to say, let's take them off the air. But I've just never, you know, I mean, I believe we need to find a way to shift those people away from that place.
Yeah.
But just shutting them down is not, you know, legal or possible or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just people. I've seen people tweeting that somehow after Biden takes over that, you know, we're going to deal with this Fox News problem. Like, how does that work?
You know? Yeah. Biden shouldn't have any part of it. The Democratic Party shouldn't have any part of it either.
There's a person in the chat room who I love dearly. I'm in the Stephanie Miller chat room every day. And and she does this a lot, of just saying this should happen and this should happen and this should happen. And it's very, you know, it's very much like, well, how does that happen? Because that's unconstitutional. And I'm always giving her crap. And I'm saying, you're standing there on your balcony with your big furry hat and making proclamations. You know, we need to get like down to real nuts and bolts. How do we solve this problem?
Yeah, yeah. And we have to be super careful at the same time to not apply so many expectations to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris that we end up being disappointed 6 months in and go, oh, you know what? I was so hopeful about Joe Biden, and now I'm disappointed. And, you know, I'm thinking about not even voting in the midterms. And then suddenly we're in a world of shit again.
But I am so happy that we have control of the Senate. I mean, it's just... We would be looking at a very different day tomorrow if it weren't for just that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is such a huge blessing, and we need to remember the folks that got us there and do the work, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have some good news on that front coming up in just a second. We're going to take a short break, and I've got some really, really good news right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out, unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
That's me. I didn't mean to do that.
Say, don't you know who I say I am? At least who I say I claim to be.
Yeah, this is Never Was from New Zealand, which is where I was going to move if Donald Trump had won the election. So,
try to hide the hurt.
Yep, I would have been setting up shop in Hobbiton. Just lived in Bag End. In New Zealand. Yeah, Never Was. This is a song called You'll Never Work in This Town Again. Who's this about? I don't know. This is from their EP, The Elysian. Music-neverwas.bandcamp.com. That's N-E-V-E-R-W-O-Z. Link in the description at bobseska.com. We got an indie music countdown coming up at the end of the month. Looking forward to that, too.
Very stingish.
Yeah.
Stingy. Oh,
they're so great. Everything coming out of New Zealand, I don't care what it is. I just love it. I love it immediately.
Beatles movie.
Yeah. Also, bobseska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. Thank you for doing that. Okay. So CBS News has confirmed that Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will swear in 3 new senators tomorrow afternoon after the inauguration, because she's going to be, of course, the new president of the Senate as well as vice president. Georgia's Reverend Warnock and Ossoff, of course, the incoming senators from Georgia, as well as her replacement in the Senate, Alex Padilla.
I want to volunteer for the job of swearing out Donald Trump.
Yeah, that would be great.
God damn you, Donald Trump.
Fuck you!
So the Red Hats continue to whine that they're being silenced. This goes back to what we were talking about with regard to Fox News Channel. So, yes, they're being silenced. It's so tragic for the Red Hats. You know what? They're definitely not being silenced by Facebook. The top performing link posts by U.S. Facebook pages in the last 24 hours are number 10, Dan Bongino. Number 9, Donald Trump for president. Number 8, Dan Bongino. Number 7, Newsmax. Number 6, Dan Bongino. Number 5, Dan Bongino. Number 4, Franklin Graham. Number 3, The Dodo. Number 2, Dan Bongino. And number 1, Franklin Graham, because they're all being silenced.
I wish I had the talent to be a political cartoonist. I would have a facility with like 8 satellite uplink dishes, you know. this is the right wing being silenced.
Yeah. Oh my God. holy shit. It's not, they're not being, well, to the extent that they're being silenced, they deserve to be silenced. They have made this. They were given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to link themselves with reality and, you know, things like logic and facts, but I don't know why that applause. That was a phantom studio audience applause. I did not touch a goddamn thing.
No, but that's exactly the point, though. These people have lied and lied and lied and lied dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
People died because they lied.
Yeah,
and it's all about that personal responsibility we hear so much about.
Exactly
and
right.
They just refuse to take it.
Yeah, I don't. Again, the whole concept of the Republican Party is the party of personal responsibility. I don't know how that got started. I think it was George W. Bush. I'm not entirely sure, but it no longer applies. I don't think it ever really applied. It was, you know, it's just a bunch of bullshit. But speaking of bullshit, going back to what we were talking about in the previous segment, misinformation has dropped dramatically in the week after Twitter banned Donald Trump. In fact, it has dropped by 73%. after not only Twitter, but other social media platforms, including Pinterest, for some reason. Did Donald Trump have a Pinterest account? It seems strange, but I guess he did. Also, Instagram and Facebook and so on. They found that, of course, the power of the tech companies to limit falsehoods and poisoning public debate has been actually effective in this case. And again, you know, you get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to change your ways and to relink with facts and reality, and they just keep doing the same old thing. And we saw,
by the way, misinformation is the one contestant who wasn't surprised when Donald Trump came into the dressing room.
There you go. So, meanwhile, Parler is back online now by routing 100% of its user traffic through servers located within the Russian Federation.
Yes.
So that's all happening with Russia now. Shocker there. Meanwhile, the FBI has charged Riley June Williams in connection to the Capitol. You know, they're calling it a riot. I refuse to call it a riot. I think it's okay as a word, but it was an insurrection. Let's make no mistake about it. It was an attack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying she told an ex-romantic partner she intended to ship a computer device from Nancy Pelosi's office to, quote, a friend in Russia who then planned to sell it to the SVR, Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. So,
is that what you tell an ex-romantic partner if you want to get them back? Is that to impress them?
No. Write that down. If you're breaking up with, or someone's breaking up with you, make sure to talk about the laptop you stole from Congress and intended to sell to the Russians, because that's going to endear them right back to you. Meanwhile, two off-duty police officers who participated in the Capitol siege have been charged in federal court. One of them, a corporal in the Virginia National Guard, holy shit, is the first known service member arrested in connection with the January 6th riot. So, yeah, the infiltration that we were talking about earlier, it actually happened. And so let's talk about Mitch McConnell and Bill Barr. Both of them are now involved in what we've been referring to as the great unremembering, where they just, was I supporting Donald Trump? I don't remember that, but he really pissed me off there at the end. So I guess I'm innocent and clean and you don't have to pursue me at all. Now, that's not how this works. But yet Bill Barr says he is done with Trump, but we can't forget that he helped Trump every single goddamn step of the way. He was able to, with one note, with like a page and a half letter, he was able to kill the entire Russia investigation to the point where you couldn't talk about the Russia investigation in polite circles after that. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how Bill Barr was given that level of credibility to the point where after that letter, and especially after the Mueller report came out, everyone's like, well, I guess that's it for the Russia investigation. I guess we don't talk about
that. I know.
Anytime
you ever mentioned it, it was like, oh, you liberals, you're always bringing up Russia. It's always Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, it fell into that category. And that was the idea.
Yeah.
Was
exactly.
To make it to where anybody brought it up, they were just laughed out because, oh, that was a bunch of BS.
Right, right. Well, in the meantime, Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor this morning said the mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. Well, yeah, fine, Mitch, but for God's sake, where were you 4 years ago? Where were you?
I can just well imagine that statement's behind something that says, there's a piece of glass that says, break only if approval rating gets below 30%.
That's exactly right. I mean, Jesus, shameless is what it is. It's just utterly shameless. We all know what the score is with regard to Mitch McConnell. He's not fooling anybody. Maybe some of the rubes in Kentucky, but certainly not here or any place else.
I'm looking forward to him just retiring away to the Galapagos with the rest of his family.
Yeah. And don't forget, you're going to outlive Mitch McConnell. We're all going to outlive Mitch McConnell. But, you know, there was a great piece in Axios. Axios is doing a whole series of profiles of what happened inside the Trump White House after the election. And their latest one has to do with Bill Barr and this confrontation between Barr and Trump at the White House after Barr issued his statement about how he wasn't going to really be looking into the election for voter fraud and what have you. So it was December 1st, a nearly month after the election, and Barr had some sharp advice to get off his chest. The president's theories about a stolen election, Barr told Trump, were bullshit. So Bill Barr told Trump to his face that these allegations of election fraud and so on were bullshit. Then Trump had angrily dragged Barr in to explain himself after seeing a breaking AP story all over Twitter with the headline disputing Trump, Barr says no widespread election fraud, but Barr was not backing down. 3 weeks later, he would be gone. Nobody was more loyal to Trump than Bill Barr, but for Trump, it was never enough, they write here in Axios.
That's, you know, and it's, I don't mean to interrupt, but just hearing that meeting and the way it's described reminds me of the Comey rule. And I saw a Comey interview the other night, and everybody hates Comey, and I totally get that. But there are parts of what he has brought to us that I think are valuable. And the one thing they asked him was that one scene where the loyalty scene with where he's, you know, where Jeff Daniels is with Brendan Gleeson, and Brendan Gleeson is playing Trump. Comey said he was there when they shot that, and he said it was chilling how accurate that was, and that scene really for the first time showed people what Trump was really like.
Yeah.
You know, he's this really scary dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the thing about that scene and the thing about Donald Trump's behavior, going back to what we were saying earlier about testosterone and anger management and grievances and all the rest of it, I think ever since maybe Goodfellas came out or The Sopranos or something, there's been this thing with older white guys pretending like they're in the mafia. I've seen this a lot, where it was especially this way when The Sopranos was in its first run and there'd be a new episode on Sunday night. You go to work Monday morning, guys are at the water cooler saying, yeah, forget about it. I mean, white guys who have nothing to do with Italy or have nothing to do with the mafia, pretending like they're in the mafia, like forgetting that we're talking about sociopaths here. We're talking about serial killers to a certain extent here with members of the mob. But then if they're portrayed in a heroic light, then people get the sense, well, that's really badass.
For Trump, those were his male role models.
Yeah.
You know, going back to Cohn and all that stuff.
Well, and that's what struck me about that scene in the Comey rule, is it just looked like Donald Trump pretending to be Don Corleone or pretending to be Tony Soprano or Michael Corleone or any of these people that we see in these mafia films, just taking it so seriously. And then it doesn't surprise me either, because what we have noticed among the Red Hats a lot, and in fact, what's his name, Lynn Wood, does this blatantly. They're cosplayers. They're so impressionable. It's so bizarre to see grown men and to an extent grown women being this impressionable about Donald Trump. I mean, Lynn Wood, for God's sake, dresses like Donald Trump. He wears the MAGA hat and the red tie and the dark wool trench coat and the hair and all the rest of it. And Rudy Giuliani with the face makeup. And there's just an entire generation of older men in this country who hero worship Donald Trump. And it's so strange. It's so bizarre to see.
I got to think, I'm confident of this, is that history is going to treat Trump way worse than McCarthy.
Yeah.
And we know how McCarthy is this fucking joke to us now.
That's right. Yeah.
It's going to be with him and his sycophants and the way they dress and everything, it's going to be so cartoonish. Mm-hmm. And that process, I think, is going to happen faster. I think it's not going to take very long for his legacy to be just complete crap.
Yeah, I hope so, because what it needs to be is it needs to be defanged, it needs to be disarmed, it needs to be seen as the laughingstock that it should be seen as, because, I mean, you know, you could say, look, look how funny those people are, look how ridiculous they are, oh, what a bunch of morons. There are 74 million of them, at least, in this country, and I don't know if every single one of them are radical red hats, but they're in that club, and I don't know if they're coming back. I think a good many of them, I think most of them, are just gone forever. They have detached themselves from empirical reality. They're no longer part of, what you would consider to be normal society. They have formed their own little cult, their own little club of weirdos who worship fantasy. And again, that's the stakes coming out of the Trump years is... reality versus fantasy. Those are the terms that we're engaged in terms of the political shovel fights, the political discourse in this country.
So Trump fan will be a future costume at Comic-Con.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, they're just going to continue to hero worship this guy. I guess Lawrence O'Donnell last night was saying, once again, that Donald Trump continues to be the commander-in-chief, but the commander-in-chief of his own citizen army of red hats. And that's the sad fact. Oh, yeah, one last thing. A little tag on the end of this Bill Barr story in Axios. Donald Trump screaming with Bill Barr in the room, "No one supports me. No one gives me any fucking support."
Right.
That's an exact quote from Donald Trump. Doesn't surprise me. He's such a goddamn whiner. Yeah, I know. Just can't stop crying. Lots of crying still to come. But isn't it great that haven't had to see his crying on Twitter?
And the next time we talk, Bob, we'll have a new president.
That's exactly right. Our last show, we got new elements too on the show, because that's the most important thing going into a new administration. All the new sounds on the show. I know my priorities are screwed up, but what can I say?
I know you're totally fucked up.
All right, Mike, where can people find you on the internets?
Hey, you can catch me on Instagram at Rocky_Mountain_Mike.
Okay, well, stay tuned for the postmortem show coming up on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or BobSeskaShow.com, or click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Take care, folks. It's over. He's gone. Bye-bye. One last thing here. We're so grateful that vaccinations for COVID-19 are underway. Unfortunately, while there's light at the end of the tunnel, infection rates and hospitalizations are at an all-time high across the country. In California, some hospitals are turning away patients or threatening to ration care. While we're nearing the finish line for this brutal pandemic, getting there means staying safe. For the foreseeable future, only respirator face masks provide real protection from transmission. Unfortunately, the huge demand and limited supply of respirators means we are flooded with fakes and counterfeits that do almost nothing. Well, right now, the NewDealShop.com has FDA-authorized KN95 respirator masks with anti-fraud labeling on every single package that can be verified right on the manufacturer's website. They're tested in the United States by the NPPTL and provide the most significant level of protection. Their respirator masks are in stock in the U.S. and ship immediately for free. Go to TheNewDealShop.com now and get verified, authenticated, FDA-authorized N95 masks shipped immediately to your home or business. That's TheNewDealShop.com. TheNewDealShop.com. Go now.